Hello! I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right. And another excellent start to another excellent podcast.
Right. We're building up suspense
That's
there.
Right. That's right. Right. I think in the industry they call that a dramatic pause. Maybe.
Or just
bad editing.
No, yeah. It's dramatic pause.
Or we'll have to do bad editing, I guess, to fix that. Dramatic pause. Yeah, so we're back.
Yeah.
So what's been going on? We got some things to talk about.
Yeah, we got some.
There's a movie coming out.
Yeah.
This upcoming, I mean, technically Friday. The early reviews are coming in. And, of course, we're talking about Cats.
Cats. Everyone's looking forward to Cats.
Yeah.
Yeah. This live action. Cats.
I mean, sort of.
Sort of.
James Corbin's in it. Yeah. Recording, whatever.
You don't think he's not alive?
No,
he's not human.
He's a British zombie alien.
Yeah. That's probably very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that he's universally hated in England.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why? I wonder why.
To hear them talk, he's a giant C word.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Colonial. So, C word. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
those colonials.
Well, I guess they'll see him next Tuesday on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He's a, I don't know if that's true or not, but.
Huh.
I mean, I know that.
You heard it here first if it's.
Well, I mean, well, I don't
you've
know.
Heard, you've heard it something.
Yes. Clearly, I've heard it something. Yeah. So maybe they've heard it here first.
That's true. That's true. But. So. All right.
Rise of Skywalker.
That's right. The other Star Wars thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
Sort of. So I don't know. I guess we talked a little bit about the trailers that we've seen.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I guess our feelings on those are mixed, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of, you know.
There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
I've read the reviews.
You've read the reviews?
I've read some of the potential plot leaks.
Some of them, yeah.
And I also read someone who said, so all of the plot leaks that we've seen are true, and they're awful.
Oh, so all the awful plot leaks.
Okay.
Wow.
So it currently stands on Rotten Tomatoes. I just checked it. At 58%.
Wow.
Which has raised 4% since this morning.
Wow. You think that's just haters, or do you think that's actual?
This is critics, not audience.
Oh, that's right, because they're doing that now, right?
They won't show the audience score until people have had a chance to actually see it.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
And by way of comparison, at 58%, it will have, I think, the same. No, it'll be slightly higher than the current Phantom Menace score.
Ooh.
But the Phantom Menace score lowered when they re-released it.
So kind of even lower than the original Phantom Menace score. Wow.
The reviews that I've read. Sorry, I'm pulling up. The Last Jedi critically had a 91% critic score.
Wow.
And a 43% audience score. Basically have said it's a disappointment.
Oh.
A disappointing way to end the franchise. That there's too much in it.
That seems to be the general. That's the thing that I kind of gleaned from one like quick little thing. Because I didn't want to read too much because I didn't want to, you know, reveal anything.
Yeah,
too heavily or whatever. So, but yeah, that's that. I kind of, and it kind of looks like that from the trailers too, though. Like there just seems like there's so much going on.
The fact that they're riding horses through, the fact that they're riding horses in Star Wars is still is mind boggling to me.
Right. Yeah. That's a little strange.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But like, I think, you know, like the trailers that we've seen kind of mixed responses. I think like the first one was kind of
First one looked cool.
Yeah, because cool. I mean they you know brought Lando back. Yeah. They brought you know like you saw a little bit of Princess Leia still.
Yeah.
You know, and then you know, so it looked kind of like this might be the movie I want to see. And then the second trailer came out and was like, why did they release this? This looks like a hodgepodge of stuff that's not very interesting. And then, I don't know.
Without going too spoilery into leaks, what bothered me about reading the stuff that I read is it seems like rather than being a cohesive movie, it's a, hey, this person's searching for this thing. Hey, this person's searching for this thing. Okay. They get this thing. It takes them to the next thing that leads them to the next thing. Like everything seems to be about a quick search for things that they've never brought up before. Rather than like, you know, the plot of, you know, for example, Return of the Jedi, it was very simple.
Yeah.
But it had everybody was on point for what they were doing. The Empire was doing this. It doesn't feel like that. You know, the heroes were trying to stop the Empire from doing their next big thing. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like they're just searching for an item that leads them to the next item that leads them to the next item that leads them to the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, yeah. I guess everyone will see soon.
Yeah.
And then
once we actually see it, maybe I can have my, I expect a complete train wreck. And then be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Low expectations can improve the viewing experience of a movie.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But how about the good Star Wars thing? The Mandalorian?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the original.
You're talking Phantom Menace?
Oh, yes. The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. There's not enough Gungans in the new...
I like that they referenced the Gungan from the newest episode.
I thought that was awesome, actually. not only that, but also, you saw the newest episode, Sam?
I am just one episode behind. That's okay, but you can talk.
Okay, all right.
You can talk about it.
Yeah.
I like how they referenced that the one guy was an Imperial sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's not very impressive.
Yeah.
He's like,
I wasn't a stormtrooper.
Right. And I'm like, that's just awesome that they acknowledge that.
That's really funny.
I don't know, that show just, all those little nods like that they keep just throwing in.
Yeah.
That just makes that show so good, I think. You know, I don't know. So far, every episode I think has been pretty good. There were, except for the one where he, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was probably the weakest one. I think is the one had with the female bounty hunter that was on that planet, and there was like farmers and
like the last episode,
the one before that.
Yeah.
That one I thought was a little bit like, I didn't think there was a whole lot. I mean, it was cool, but.
Oh, I think it's built into what's his face? What's his first name? His last name's Esposito. He played Gus Fring.
Hold on.
I think he's going to be the big bad of the series.
Oh, really? I didn't even know he was in that.
Who I think it was. It was who walked up with the spurs at the end of the cave.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, he's a former Imperial officer, I think, is what. What I read, he was going to play, and I've seen pictures of him in his outfit, and he had a cape, and that guy had a cape. So
nice, yeah. That actor's amazing.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Mando.
You didn't like that episode? I'm not saying I didn't like it, but I think it was the weakest of all the ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like all the other ones, I thought had like just.
I don't think you're really allowed to cool criticize stuff. That show right now.
Yeah, well, that's not bad.
They had a walker. I mean,
that was pretty cool.
Wait a minute.
There was cool stuff in.
You had a female bounty hunter who was just as tough as Mando.
Without the armor.
I was talking. I thought you were talking about where they were after the female bounty hunter on Tatooine.
Oh no, that was a really good.
Oh, okay, so I agree that was the weakest episode, but that's kind of like saying that was the I don't have an appropriate thing to say there, so I'm just gonna leave it go.
Yeah,
but it's. I mean, it's.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad, by any means. No, I still think the whole show as a whole is like the best Star Wars thing we've seen in like forever.
Mando.
29 years. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, I liked her character though.
I think
she'll be back.
Yeah. I think so too. I just thought the episode was a little bit like, eh. It didn't seem like there was a whole.
You know, someone brought this up.
But you got to have those like slower episodes too.
And about you know what they were expecting of the show and what it is, and I don't know where I read this, but I thought it was a really good analogy. So if you're expected for a great big overarching story from The Mandalorian. It's not the way TV shows are designed.
Mm-hmm. Right,
this is designed to kind of be like an old Western, but it's also very much like the, Hercules and Xena show.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Or I was even thinking like A-Team or something like that, where it's like one episode type self-contained thing. Boom.
Boom. Everything helps out and then moves on.
Yeah. And I actually thought the last episode, I thought it wasn't going to end like that. Like, I thought it was going to have to continue on into the next episode the way things were kind of going. But no, they wrapped it all up in one episode. And I'm like, and it was satisfactory.
Yeah.
You know, totally.
We had a Game of Thrones reunion, even though they never, characters never met on Game of Thrones. But because the Twi'lek is. She was in Harry Potter movies.
Oh, she was in.
Is Adora Tonks.
I don't know who that is.
No, you wouldn't. I can't remember her name in the show because they think they changed it because it was. No, they didn't change hers. They changed the other person. I can't remember. She was the Bran and the other little thing's wildling friend that helped them escape.
Oh, okay. Right.
She was the Twi'lek.
She looked familiar, but I,
it's probably from Harry Potter.
Probably.
Yeah.
That I never saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Mr. Krabs in it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was that the...
The big...
That was the Kurgan?
Yeah, that was the Kurgan, man.
I didn't even look up to see who played him.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. Yeah, I was like... I like looked at him, and I'm like, that's got to be
Clancy Brown?
Clancy Brown, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Because, you know, he said something, and I was like, that's got to be him. And I looked it up, and I'm like, sure enough, and you look past the makeup and stuff, and you can see it. Maybe a little bit older, you know.
I didn't look real close.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the dude from Sons of Anarchy in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Bill Burr.
And Bill Burr, yeah. Which, that was cool that Bill Burr was in it, too, I thought. Just in a totally different type of role than what what other kind of acting
Breaking
stuff
has Bad. He done?
Breaking Bad.
Was he in Breaking Bad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of... who did he work for? Gus?
That was Gus. I thought it was Gus.
Man, I must have completely blacked that out. Blocked that out.
Him and the big guy, right? Were partners that they sent. The guy that was like... They joked about was still going to be waiting around in the hotel.
Oh.
At the end.
Okay.
Man, like, there's a moment where the moment from that series that I remember him in is the moment where he is around all that cash.
Yeah.
And he, like, lays down on it for a second.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I have to go back and watch that series again because it's so good.
Yeah, I'm waiting and then I'm going to go into.
Yeah.
I don't want to overload my senses with Breaking Bad too frequently. But
yeah. Speaking, have you guys watched the...
I have not watched that Camino
yet. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
I want to, but I just haven't.
Yeah. It's nice to... It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't want to elaborate too much on it. So, Mandalorian. It's good.
Yeah. Continues to be good.
Continues to be good. And then, you know, what else I thought Crisis was going to be good.
Okay.
But at least watching, I've only seen the first episode, granted.
Okay.
I was kind of blown away at how good it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Crisis is like, man.
They are doing their thing in Crisis.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of it yet.
Oh, man.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I have to say the part, There is a part where you get to meet Kingdom Come Superman. You kind of meet...
I read a little bit about that, actually. That sounds...
Yes, and you also kind of get to meet, kind of, I guess, Kingdom Come Batman. Like it was funny where, you know, the heroes have to look for these particular people who have these particular, I forgot what they're called. Crap. And so, like, all the Earths are disappearing and stuff. And so, you know, they're like, well, this Earth has this particular person there. And Batgirl's like, so who wants to meet Batman? And that's pretty cool right there. And so you get to see Kingdom Come Batman.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
So, and then small, I can't, I wish I could talk, cause I like one of the, I've seen online that, cause Smallville makes an appearance.
Yeah.
And you know, some people were disappointed. I personally thought it was like great because John Cryer as Lex Luthor, cause he's Lex Luthor in Supergirl series.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Hilarious. He kills it as Lex Luthor. I mean, he's really good.
See, I haven't seen too much of him as Lex Luthor, so I, yeah, huh.
Yeah, like, that's a few times I've seen him, because I catch Supergirl every once in a while, but the few times I've seen him, I was like, you know what? You're pretty impressive as Lex Luthor.
I like to think that Pretty in Pink is his origin story.
Yeah. That would be that.
Yeah, and then after Pretty in Pink, he got sent to his uncle in Superman 4.
Yes. Yeah. And then let's not forget what truly drove him mad, which was spending time with Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Yes. Which would drive anybody mad.
Yeah.
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 And then seeing Ashton Kutcher...
Tiger Blood.
Pick up all the pieces, and you still are...
He was tired of being treated... as half a man, and so he became a full man, Lex Luthor.
Yes. Yeah.
Little known fact, he was the half a man.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Yes, he was the half a man.
In my Muppet.
That reminds me of the Muppet.
I'm a Muppet old man.
Did you all see the Red Sun trailer?
No.
The DC animated movie. No. They're doing the Red Sun.
Yes. I think I heard something about that, but I didn't know there's a trailer out yet.
Yeah, it came out like yesterday or something.
Does it look good?
Oh, yeah, it looks really good. Yeah, it's even though in my head I knew this should be the case, I guess, but I didn't ever think about watching an animated Superman speak with a Russian accent was kind of cool. I hadn't really thought about the fact.
A Russian accent. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it just looks like they're following the comic really closely. So
okay, very cool. There is speaking of some DC news, there is an anime series called Harley Quinn. That's on
DC. I saw that on the DC Universe thing.
I watched the first episode. I think they were showing it like free on YouTube or something like that. So I watched the first episode, and yeah. It is a lot going on.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's good. It's funny.
Okay.
And it's not for kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the preview I showed that it wasn't for kids.
It is not for kids at all.
All right. Duly noted.
Duly noted. It's not for kids. But it does have, it's funny. It does have heart. And it kind of, I think it does depict Harley's relationship with Joker, Harley's relationship with Poison Ivy, and Harley's relationship with herself. I think it depicts pretty good. So
interesting.
So that's something you need to check out for. But yeah, it was pretty funny. I was like, that's pretty funny.
Very good, very good. I have to check that out then. The one thing that I kind of read about the crisis stuff, and then you can kind of, acknowledge it or not.
All right.
Since I think you're all caught up.
Yep. With all the I'm all caught up.
Yeah. The Brandon Routh kind of he nailed it, I guess, and did some really.
Yeah, I am.
Redeemed himself.
I am very proud. Well, I don't think it was his fault in the first place.
I don't think it is. Remember, we kind of talked about this before. Yeah. We think he did get a fair shake at it. You know?
Yeah, he killed it, and they even acknowledged the fact of the Atom and this particular Superman, like, hey, you guys kind of look alike.
Nah, they do. They do acknowledge it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I can't spoil it for you, but you two are going to love an appearance by someone. You two are going to love it.
Oh, okay.
Because let's just say...
Just spoil it for me. Are you okay with it being spoiled?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right.
Lucifer makes an appearance.
I heard about it. Yeah. I know what I heard?
I heard they're talking about a Lucifer Constantine duo show.
Lucifer,
how good would that be?
Yeah,
man.
And from what I've read, Crisis takes place before season 1 of Lucifer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because you find Constantine, and the two people from Arrow. I can't remember their names. I don't know how to spoil it. Well, they need the devil's help, and so when they find the devil and they find Lucifer, he's at a club. He opens the door and he's, you know, with two women, and he's at his club, and so, you know, I ask for the help and everything, and so from what I was reading, that all takes place Crisis takes place before season 1 of Lucifer.
Interesting, huh?
So he hasn't moved to L.A. or anything.
Gotcha.
And you know, he's in a different dimension. And little side note, technically, Lucifer is kind of in Supernatural, because what season was it? There was one season where the Winchesters had asked Lucifer, like, well, what are you going to do now, or something like that? And he said, I'm going to move to L.A. and solve crimes.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. That is awesome.
But yeah, that I thought you guys would get a...
Yeah,
that is cool. I'm so glad that they brought that last season back on Netflix, because the way that...
Yeah. It is hilarious. He just shows... Yeah. He's hilarious. He's like, hey! I'm like, it's Lucifer!
That's awesome. Yeah, and he's so good at that role. He is. He's good at that.
I am, by the way, speaking of Lucifer, so cautiously optimistic about this new Netflix Sandman show.
Yeah. I'm hoping
the stuff I'm reading about it and how they're going to be very close to the books, but set in...
modern time.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. But new game is coming in to
that. Is Netflix also doing the Lock and Key series?
I don't know.
Somebody's doing that too, and that's supposed to. I think that's actually supposed to come out soon. I read the first collection of that. I don't know if I mentioned that to you guys or not. That's really good.
Okay, that's the Joe Hill one.
That's right. Yeah. It's very good. It's totally different than what I thought it was going to be about. I guess I didn't really think too much about what it was going to be about, quite frankly, but. No, it's good. It's good.
Did we talk Dr. Sleep?
No.
We did not.
I watched Dr. Sleep.
Did you like Dr. Sleep?
I did.
Did you?
Way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, it didn't do very well.
It did terrible.
Yeah. Because I was kind of excited about possibly seeing it, but I kind of wanted to read the book because The Shining is like my favorite Stephen King book.
Oh, I've read the Dr. Sleep book. And then, you know, I of course read The Shining. I haven't read The Shining in years. I've watched The Shining movie a lot.
Yeah.
And this is a sequel to the movie.
Oh, okay.
Not the book.
Oh, okay.
But I listened to the director who also wrote the screenplay, and he would not do it unless Stephen King said that he approved of what he had written.
Oh, very good.
He sent it out to him. Because he's like, listen, I'm doing this as a sequel to the movie. I changed the third act of the book. Well, it's not really that big of a spoiler to take place. Whereas before, I forget where it took place, just like out in the woods someplace. Now it takes place at the Overlook, which you can't do as a sequel to the book because they burned down.
Yeah.
But it also led to, I mean, there's times where he has... flashbacks where they've recast the original people. So you have someone playing Shelley Duvall, someone playing Danny Torrance, and they're dressed exactly like the Shining movie. Same way with the guy that's Jack. What is it? Is it Jack Torrance?
Yeah, Jack.
So it's really unique to reshoot Kubrick. But it's a different, completely different type of movie. But I thought it was really good.
I wanted to see it. I think the reason why it may have been bad when it came out.
Came out around Thanksgiving or something, didn't it? Something like that.
I don't know. I'd be thankful for a sequel to The Shining.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think it just I think it just got. It got lost in the shuffle. If we're around Thanksgiving and more people are dealing with like Christmas and stuff, if it probably was released, like it could have been released like in May or June or even like August, September, I think it would have done better. But around Thanksgiving, that's more either you're going to go big like a super Marvel movie, Star Wars slash movie, or kind of a kid's movie because they get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Because people are too busy, you know, getting ready for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, that happens.
Speaking of Stephen King stuff, have you guys watched any of the Castle Rock series?
No. Kind of.
Yeah, kind of? Okay.
My wife's watched it. I've been in the room when it was on sometimes.
Okay. The first season is really good. I've watched all of that. And then this season, what I've seen so far, it seems to be pretty good. The actress they got to play Annie Wilkes, like a younger Annie Wilkes.
Yeah.
She's pretty good.
It's what's her face, right?
From Misery. Yeah.
No, the actress.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not really familiar with.
Oh gosh, yeah. She's Kathy, famous.
Kathy is she Bates. Famous?
Oh no.
Kathy Bates is the one that was in Misery. Yeah, right. But this is supposed to be like the younger version of her. Yeah. So it's Castle Rock is really. It's really pretty good. It's like the stuff that they've done with it. There was one episode that they did.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Okay.
She was in Mean Girls and Cloverfield.
Oh, she was in Cloverfield. Okay. She looked
familiar to me, but
True Blood.
Oh, really?
The first season of True Blood.
Oh, the first season. Okay.
She was a vampire who kidnaps the guy from Office Space.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I need to make my stapler.
It's my stapler.
Yeah, I never got into True Blood.
There was good stuff about it, but overall, the show is kind of crappy, really. It was like the best episode of True Blood was not as good as the weakest episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Okay. If you're dealing with like vampires, at least that's.
Oh, yeah. It was different. There was aspects of it that were great.
Yeah.
And I could handle it for like about two seasons.
Yeah.
Of it, seven, maybe three. I might have lasted.
I ended up watching the whole thing just because I wanted to see what ended up happening. And
my curiosity never got the best of me.
Yeah. And you know what? Your curiosity is wise. Because it was never, there was no payoff. There's no.
Oh, man, Snooki. Yeah. Oh, poor Snooki.
Yeah, poor Snooki.
You know where, actually, I can tell you exactly where I went when I'm done was when it was revealed that she was fairy folk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what season that was.
That might have been four, maybe. I don't know. That was probably the last okay season, and then it just went downhill from there. Every season after that, I don't remember.
Was that was the season with where everyone was just like getting naked, right?
No, that was the season before that, I think. Because, there was, like, just mass
orgies everywhere because
the
for great reasons. Person came back.
Yeah,
That's the last I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's not even. It was just kind of like, why are you,
We're on HBO!
Yeah, that's exactly what that was.
Well, it's a series of, like, 12 books or something ridiculous.
Yeah, but the books aren't anything like that, from my understanding.
I don't know. I read a couple of them.
Did you? Were they anything like the...
Well, the first one was close.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start making little changes, they start becoming different.
But I think the orgy thing, I think, is like...
I don't know, because I didn't get very far in the book series either.
Okay, yeah.
There was a point where I just went, this isn't worth my time.
Yeah. But that wasn't even like one episode. That was like episodes.
Well, that was an overarching story.
Yeah. It was like the half
of the...
This season. It was like...
The season. Yeah. The big bad of the season was this returning pagan goddess who...
Yeah.
I thought it was a cramp. I got a leg cramp.
Yeah. It's... Yeah.
I'm so glad I never watched that.
Yeah. Show. No, it's not. It's not even like I have like no desire to go back and watch any.
No, the Skarsgård dude was awesome.
Yeah, he was kind of like the coolest thing about it, and like some of the actors that they had were awesome. You know, they had moments that were cool. You know, but it was all because of the actors. It's nothing of the story was
okay.
You know.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. I don't know why I'm now tearing apart True Blood, having not watched it for years. But it was the same problem. It was one of the same problems I had with Twilight. You give me vampires, and you set up the sort of vampires, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And then you add werewolves in.
Yeah.
And it becomes a
war between werewolves and vampires or whatever.
It becomes this thing of where, like... Well, like I said about Twilight, it's you want to let me know that this girl moves to the northwest part of the country and meets a vampire who falls in love with her. Yeah, it's creepy. He's 100 and a billion years old.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever. But and she's 16, and he falls in love. Okay, you've given me this little bit of the supernatural, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll buy it.
Yeah.
But independently of that, she also happens to meet a werewolf.
Right.
Who just also falls in love with her.
Yeah.
I you've now made this completely unbelievable to me. My mind will not accept. I heard this complaint about the original Spider-Man movie, and I didn't agree with it. But they had where some, you know, Spider-Man gets his powers. Green Goblin gets his powers. Completely independent of each other. And you've got these two coinciding events that have led up to each other. I didn't buy it for that, but I buy this for Twilight. And then True Blood, it was just, there's like 12 people living in this Louisiana town.
Right.
Like the series deals with every single person who lives in this town. It's so small.
Yeah.
And all of them are touched by different types of
weird supernatural
things. You've got werewolves, you've got fairies, you've got vampires, you've got the dude who turns randomly into a dog.
Was it a voodoo doctor?
Yeah, or
at some point there was.
Yeah, it's like there's nobody else. I just go to work.
The thing that bothered me with it too, like though, is that like, okay, you create that fantasy world, okay, and everything. You set the rules for that fantasy world.
Yeah.
And then in order for that to seem real, I think, okay, you can accept certain things in that. But then when they change those things just to kind of like meet that particular episode or that particular story or whatever, and it kind of breaks from past rules that they set, then it just kind of just falls apart, I think. Because at one point, like, the vampires were strong enough to like wrap a car around a freaking tree and throw it, you know, and then later on they weren't able to do those types of things, or they're, you know, it's just
I'm going to go ahead, just go here and off on a tangent. Walking Dead did that.
Oh, did they?
With their zombies, bad.
Really?
The zombies in the first season could run.
Oh yeah,
they picked up rocks to use as tools.
Oh yeah, I guess that's probably
They seem to have memories. What's his face? Why can't I remember anyone's name tonight? The dude from the first season who disappeared, came back like six seasons later. He's friends.
Earl. Is it Earl?
Merle.
No, not that disappeared from the first season.
Like, oh, the black guy.
Yeah, him and his
kid and his son.
Oh yeah. Would it be racist? I'm just joking. Yeah, that guy. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either. What?
He comes back as a zombie and has
No, he's the stick.
Yeah, his wife in the first season comes back and like will walk up onto their porch because she has some sort of
memories of the
And then they and by the second season, that's done.
Yeah, that's
well, true. I think with that, I think it was like fresh. She
died. Her brain was fresher.
Yeah, the brain's fresher, and then some of the scenes would go on. You just
but that never happened again after the first season.
Well, because
all the zombies are older.
Well, not all of them. We watch people turn.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then they simply killed them right there and then. So you never really had it to develop. I mean, right?
I don't know. I haven't really watched it recently. I haven't watched it since Glenn died. So
I'm like, they usually just killed them all. So I don't know. Yeah. But I can see what you're saying there.
But True Blood, I think, did that to
them. Oh, they did that to the extreme.
Yeah. And it always would drive me crazy.
I never watched it.
Because, it's nothing to miss, I don't think. So I never really understood why it got so popular. I think just because the nudity, I think that's a big part of it.
That's all people were talking about.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, look at the time frame. You had Twilight. So you had this new love of vampires. So HBO makes an adult Twilight, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess that's pretty true.
Yeah.
And you've got really attractive people taking their clothes off.
Right. And what, 50 Shades was being written at that time or something, wasn't it?
Probably.
50 Shades did start as Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah. It was literally she had to change the character from being a vampire to being a businessman.
Yeah.
And like to take it off of the internet because it got so popular there and redid it as that.
That's crazy. I had no idea. That is funny.
And don't sound to battle. G.I. Joe.
Can I tell you the most fantastic fact, or did I already tell you the most fantastic fact that I've ever learned?
Only if it's about True Blood.
It has nothing to do with Well, I can tie it into True Blood.
Okay, there you go.
Eric Northman, what was he before he was a vampire?
Don't know.
Northman.
A Viking.
Yes.
Yes.
Bluetooth technology is named after Harald Bluetooth, a Viking king, because the guy at Intel says it will unite devices the way he united Norway. The symbol for Bluetooth is his initials in Viking runes over top of each other.
I knew that.
You know what? I never knew that. Now that you're saying it, I think I do remember
reading
that.
And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
I think I do remember that too. That's pretty awesome. That is awesome.
Yep.
Very cool. So now this has turned into the
Random facts and True Blood podcast.
Well, right. So on the next episode of our True Blood bashing podcast.
Are we doing?
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. But we have one other thing I guess to discuss as well, right? At least one other thing.
All right.
And that's Watchmen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We were set up perfectly with a segue. How dare you miss the...
I did.
How about shows that have not yet jumped the shark?
HBO. That's true. But I mean, this has been good from the get go though. Yes. True Blood was never really good.
I have now completed watching the entire first and possibly only season of Watchmen.
First and only season.
They only came up with one idea for a story.
Yeah.
Really?
And Damon Lindelof agreed to do it, and they may do a second season. The actors are on call for it.
Huh.
But he says that if he doesn't have an idea over the next few months that he feels needs told, he won't do another season.
Wow. Does it end satisfactorily? It's
perfect television.
Really?
Here's my bold statement. It is one of the best single seasons of television I've ever seen.
Whoa. I need to.
Because I think when they first marketed it, I don't think they really marketed it as an ongoing series when they first marketed Watchmen.
Is it 10 episodes?
Nine.
Yeah, I don't think they like marketed as this new series. I thought they was marketed as in like more of an event. That's the feel that I got. Yeah,
you know, I think you're right too. That's
the feel that I got.
Yeah. Well, I can't say enough good things about it.
Wow.
Seriously.
I know what I'm going to be doing during Christmas break, I think.
I feel blessed that I have lived to see Watchmen and The Boys and within a year of each other. Because those are two of the best adaptations or retellings of a comic book story ever. My gosh.
Yeah, watch.
Like,
yeah, see, I gotta watch The Boys too. I haven't.
Like, your episode, halfway through episode 5, is that what you said?
Yep.
Which episode is that?
Episode 5 is talking about the pills, and that towards the end, Regina.
Did she take the pills?
Takes the pills. So I have not seen the effects of the pills.
So you finished episode 5 because she takes the pills right at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, episode 6
is where she goes through all of the memories and stuff.
Will probably get nominated for an Emmy.
Okay.
If it doesn't, I will be surprised. Episode 8 would also qualify for an Emmy.
Because it's so popular, like radio.
Episode 8 is so good that I just thought about it and I got goosebumps.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my god, you're making me want to watch. I have to watch this tonight.
It is so good, and there are people who absolutely hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything bad about it. Actually, to be honest with you.
Well, it is the Rotten Tomatoes, critics. It's a 96% from critics and a 43% from fans.
Is it really?
Well, yeah, because
it's not Watchmen.
It didn't tell the story of the original Watchmen, even though it kind of does. You see half of them.
Yeah.
One of them's dead. So
I mean, it's kind of good that it's not. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I kind of.
And we live in a country where people don't like to be uncomfortable about race.
No.
And there's a lot of racial themes that run through this, and the lost history of the United States and the way it treated. And in a future wherein you've got a president, Robert Redford, who paid reparations, who did, or Redfordations, I think they call them.
Yeah, that's how I kind of knew about some of that stuff, because the radio... the Sirius XM channel that listened to more talks about kind of more talks about politics, but they were referencing, you know, Watchmen. It was like, these are all these interesting on the takes on like race relations and everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was knowing about some of the things that are going on on the show and stuff. But from what I've been seeing, like I said, I'm like, this is pretty good.
So you know how they would have in the comic, Rorschach's Journal and blah, blah, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
these
yeah.
like little side supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we already mentioned the fact that rather than having the, Tales of the Black Freighter comic book that runs through it.
Yeah.
The theme through this is the retelling of the original Minutemen. Television show, which is a limited series event going on television during the limited series Watchmen.
Yeah.
But there's also I forget where I was going with this. Online there's an FBI agent whose last name is Petey, who loves superheroes and stuff like that, has Petypedia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have supplemental material online where you can read about
the different characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jean Smart is phenomenal. In it. I think I like Jean Smart and Regina King.
Regina King's amazing. Jean Smart, is she Sally she's the
she is FBI agent.
Silk Spectre.
Yeah, Silk Spectre.
Okay.
Nice. Yes.
Who's the anti-vigilante team?
Yeah.
Heads up the anti-vigilante team of the FBI.
Right. That's awesome.
That's
pretty cool.
By the time you get to the end of episode 7, like 6, 7, and 8 are such WTF moments in television that, like, I'm going to try and, be as spoiler free as possible. So she takes these pills because it's, even this is a reference to the comic book, because there's a perfume called Nostalgia.
Yeah.
That they have advertised on billboards, and that's, you know, that's the flavor of Nostalgia or whatever. The idea is it's a pill that someone can put their memories into. Mm-hmm. And her grandfather wanted her to have these pills. So episode 6 is told from her reliving her grandfather's memories. So there'll be parts where it will fit, cut around, and it's her. And, you know, by the time they get back, it's him. You know, it's black and white, the vast majority of it. But there's a scene where, like, she's doing something as her grandfather, and it just, like, stops. And you see, like, people from the present day trying to reach her because she's stuck in the past, because you're only supposed to take one at a time. She took a whole bottle.
Yeah.
It's, from a story perspective, it is one of the best hours of television I've seen. And then episode 8 happens. And episode 8, I would compare it, if I was to compare it to an issue of the comic, the issue where Dr. Manhattan is experiencing all of time at once.
Yeah.
It is like that. It is clearly referenced that. Mm. And it's so good.
Mm. That's cool. That actually kind of reminds me of an episode of Castle Rock where they have, because the, what's the pretty famous actress that's on there?
Lizzie Kaplan.
She was in Carrie.
Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek. Thank you. She plays a woman that kind of has dementia. So she kind of goes in and out of time. So she leaves like markers around to kind of have her memories and stuff like that. And that whole episode, there's one whole episode where it's kind of told from her perspective. So you're jumping in and out of different moments of time. She's picking up these different, they're like chess pieces or something like that. And you'll see her set it down at one moment, and then like moments later, it's somewhere else. And then, how did it get there? And it just keeps revolving around like that. And then the way that whole episode ties up, it just fits together so well.
Yeah.
And it's just done so good. Yeah. It was really, really good.
Yeah. This is so well acted. The guy that plays Looking Glass is wonderful. He's like a modern day Rorschach in terms of like, but with a Southern accent.
Yes.
Huh. He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And that's the only thing I can remember him in.
Hold on here. I'm getting him. Tim Blake Nelson.
That's him. He's so good. And they call him Looking Glass. He wears a mirrored mask.
Right.
Versus like a Rorschach mask. Oh. And he's one of the police. Oh, okay. But there's a part where he has it pulled up like Rorschach's mask up above his nose.
Oh, nice.
He just reminds me of... And he's very to the point type of a thing. So he's very the stand-in for Rorschach. But, gosh, such a, like perfect to me. Perfect. Like, you couldn't have ended better.
Wow. All right.
And Jeremy Irons is a national treasure.
Even though
I don't even know what nation he's from. Whatever nation he's from, he's a national treasure.
Right. He's that nation's treasure.
Yeah.
He also was in The Incredible Hulk.
He was going to become the leader.
That dude. Okay, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. He's so good in this. Regina King is amazing.
Yeah.
She's absolutely amazing. Man, she's...
Even Don Johnson.
Don Johnson was good.
Was good, yeah.
He was real good. Who else is in this movie? The guy that they have playing Regina King's husband.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Louis.
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's Iron Eagle.
That's not her husband. Iron Eagle.
But that's her grandfather.
That's
her
grandfather, yeah.
That's no spoiler because he tells you, like,
right
away. And I heard David Lindelof kind of say this. So in the world of that we live in now, he used Westworld as an example. Westworld is a very complex and interesting show that he absolutely loved. And within 2 weeks of it airing, people had already figured out every secret that was going to be released for the entire season. So what we thought, or what I thought at least, was going to be a who killed Don Johnson's character. Spoiler. Murder. Who murdered in the first episode would be like the running. Who's the comedian? That isn't the mystery that he focused on. It's like I'm trying to think of how to word these mysteries.
The pills. Oh, like what?
Yeah. Who? Like what is actually going on? Where is Ozymandias that he's living this life that he's living? Mm-hmm. You know, all these things that aren't necessarily easy to solve mysteries. And that becomes the journey.
Oh, so good. But can I ask, I do have a question or a thought.
Yeah.
With all the mask, it's not doing anyone any good because it's like, it seems like no... You're supposed to hide your identity and it doesn't work.
Well,
and you know, I think that kind of stems from the fact that technically, you know, you're not supposed to be visual, but maybe they're trying to say Big Brother's always watching and always knowing, and this is the thing that they will allow.
You don't know who Big Brother is or whatever.
Like, well, more of the government quite essentially knows who you are, but they'll give you the illusion that you are keeping a secret identity. Kind of like when Justice League, when Amanda Waller, you know, referenced to Batman, like, rich boys shouldn't be running around in capes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Well, the problem is, and I'm going to try and do this without spoiling anything because they do kind of address that. So with the police wearing the masks,
because I understand, it always was like just funny to me.
The police didn't wear the masks until the White Knight,
right.
And then after the White Knight, they began to wear masks, and
I understood like
the plot line involved that we have here in this, there is someone involved with it that knows the identities of all the police.
See, that's what I'm like.
But you don't know that yet, so I don't want to spoil anything.
But that's the thing that's cracking me up, because it's like, at least like after the cemetery scene, like the senator guy was like, oh, thank you for blah blah. Oh, I know. I'm not supposed to know who you are. And I'm just like, this is like, you guys are like the worst at keeping a secret identity. <I'm> like, this is like terrible. Yeah. And you know, Silk Spectre comes in and is like, oh, blah blah blah. Calls them by their actual name instead of the code.
So
that's what I'm like.
This gives you the idea, though, the government knows who they are.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like.
It's regular citizens. The idea is to protect you from the regular citizens. But the government knows who they are.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, this is the most dangerous one. It's like they're giving you the illusion. Oh, yeah, the public don't really know who you are, but let's be honest. We can find out how to go real quick.
Yeah. You're safe from the people that aren't really threats.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, they can't blackmail you. We can.
But yeah, have I said enough good things about it yet? Because I don't know.
I have one more thing. One more good thing.
One more good thing about it?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Oh.
There is a moment in it, and you've already seen this. It might be the most WTF moment I've ever seen in a television show.
Really?
And they never explain it.
Really? I'll have to. I'm
going to tell you because it's a spoiler. Right. Okay. It's, I believe, Sulk's. Or no, it's Regina King. Mm-hmm. Angela. Okay. Who's standing there investigating whatever, and she looks over, and there's this dude.
Oh, I think I might have come seen across it. I didn't see it, but I
there's this dude who doesn't look unlike Ultraman.
Okay.
Standing there in this giant silver suit.
Yeah.
And he's just, and like they make eye contact, and she's like, and starts chasing after him, and he starts running, and then there's just this moment where he like loops himself down. Yeah. And just stops and slides under the road into the sewer.
It is awesome. I don't know how they did it, but it is so freaking awesome.
And then they never reference it again.
Yeah, yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing I heard, because they refer to him as Lube Man.
They do.
Okay.
On PDpedia, because PD just disappears.
Like, yeah, he does.
They kind of ignore him. But on PDpedia, they mentioned at the end that he gets fired, that he's fired from the FBI, and that they found containers of canola oil.
Oh, so get out!
So he might be Loop Man.
Oh, that is hilarious.
That would make sense because of his background
and how he gets all his information on all these.
Yeah, that would make sense.
That's funny.
But that was hilarious. I was like, how the heck? I thought you were talking about in the field when they were battling the, what is that group called?
The cavalry.
Yeah, the cavalry, and then. And everything got made into hamburgers.
Oh, that was pretty WTF too. They're using dead cows for cover.
Oh.
Gatling guns or whatever.
I literally just see that. I was like, I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty awesome. That kind of, I mean, the way he did it is like I honestly don't know how they did that.
Huh.
Is like
pretty, how they do the effect? You mean you like how
he slid like that? Because he doesn't really stop. He's running and he loses himself up and he just basically launches himself and slides underneath.
Like we'll watch. I'm sure it's online. I mean, literally, I'm sure if you type in onto YouTube "Lube Man," that scene will come up.
But it's like I was like, I have no idea how he did that, and that was awesome.
And that's awesome. In like the second or third episode.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it's a deep pool.
Yeah.
I am. To talk about how the things that happen in the later episodes would be a disservice for you guys to just find them out from watching it. So I'm not going to, but I need you guys to watch it so we can talk about it in depth.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know has watched the show.
Yeah. Now that you piqued my interest more. So I'm like, oh, I need to, you can check it out, because I love the first episode. It was really good and really solid. It's just that
if you like the first episode, you're in, because the first episode I enjoyed it wholeheartedly, but it didn't sell me on the whole show. It wasn't until probably the third or fourth episode where I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And then for me to be completely blown away by two of the last four episodes. The last episode was really good, and the episode that I'm not talking about as being one of the best had a whole lot of stuff that it had to do to set up the penultimate episode, which I...
So yeah, I guess.
That's on my short list of things to watch then. So
yeah, your short list should have one thing on it.
Watchmen.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. I don't know, is there anything else we want to discuss before we wrap up, or
no?
That's it. All right.
Yeah. Well,
thanks for listening.
You could check us out on all of our social media platforms, on our Facebook, our website at allofmyissues.com. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on
Twitter.
You can listen to our podcast on Google Play or iTunes.
Most places where you can get podcasts. You can find us.
You will find us. Or we'll find you.
CastBox.
That's the only thing I add to this.
Oh, man.
I say CastBox. That's my thing.
That's your thing.
He has this spiel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You have the, we're leaving.
Yeah.
He does his spiel. Yeah. Everybody forgets CastBox, so that's the only thing that I say.
CastBox. All right.
Well, thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye. How are you?